Monday, everybody, and welcome back to the penultimate episode of the Couchside Judges. I'm Scott Fontana. Follow me on Twitter at Scott_Fontana.
I'm Dan Urban. Follow me at the Dan Urban. Follow the podcast at Couchside Judges.
Yeah, follow it anyway, even though it's closing.
Wait. What's penultimate mean?
It means the next to last.
So you should say that.
Well, now you know.
Oh, my God. All right. Make sure you read the criteria. It's important.
Yeah. That's more important than following the podcast at this point.
You threw me way off.
Dude,
there.
Come on. Learn words. That's what I'm here for.
Penultimate. I've heard it before. I thought it was the ultimate pen.
Penultimate means the one before the end. Ultimate would mean the end. Penultimate is the one right before that.
So I didn't think that's something that the thing, the one before the end was, didn't have that much significance. So I didn't really think it would get its own word.
People use it.
Okay.
People like me and, I don't know, not you.
No, but I'm saying like the English language. Why'd you create a word for the one before the end?
I don't know. For people like me to use.
It's weird.
Obviously, I had a reason to use it. I just used it.
Like, does any other language have translate penultimate?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not like an expert linguist.
I would say no.
Gotta ask Fabiano Busquet.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's good.
He knows a bunch. He knows a whole lot of languages, more than me. But I know a good amount of this one.
I think you know too much of this one.
Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree. My son probably knows more than you do at this point.
I'm sure he does.
He's pretty smart. He's a smart guy.
I think we stopped, vocabulary class stopped fifth grade for us, I think.
Well, he's in third grade. The class stopped in fifth grade. Dan stopped in second.
Apparently.
Yeah. Dan, either way, I mean, we probably beat this word into the ground, but the point being, this is the second to last episode of ours.
Yeah, we got one more after this.
We've got one more after this. Apparently, Dan drops a bomb on me saying he doesn't know what day we're going to be doing it, so we got to figure it out.
That's true. We don't know when the last one. We might do it Saturday after the fights. We might do it Monday night.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. That last one's coming, you know, at some point early in the week after this upcoming episode, after this upcoming two-event weekend with Bellator, followed by UFC. And we'll talk about that
later. It's kind of like the world's laughing at me.
It really kind of is, because actually it's like basically the worst of both worlds. Both of these cards, like, collectively, if you made like a best of, it's still not a good card.
It's like every time I see Angela Hill, it's like, oh, we're gonna talk about this again. And then, yeah, I mean, if you've been listening to the show throughout its history, I mean,
290 plus episodes,
a non UFC card that we have to do grinds my gears a bit. But I do like the main event. We'll get to that later.
And this is also the last one you'll have to do. So suck it up, kid.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
that's right.
Gotta go out miserable.
That's right. Good. 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 Because you're the one ditching me.
Hey, you could keep doing it.
That's true.
It would be awesome.
That's true. And it's for reasons that we're not going to talk about just yet. It's a little too premature. But I am happy with why you have to ditch me.
Yeah.
And leave me behind. We'll get to that later. Let's talk about Derek Lewis coming off of this weekend.
Yeah.
It was really like there was we were trying to put together our outline, and you would put up that there was essentially nothing to talk about, which you're not wrong about. So I shoehorned in Derek Lewis. I was trying to think of what we want to talk about with him. Like, what happened off of this card? It was like, yeah, there was some violence, and then we moved on. So what I ask you,
yeah,
and I don't care how feasible the next fight that we're going to talk about would be. I'm not saying who should he fight next. I'm saying of all of the heavyweights that Derek Lewis has not yet faced in his career, what would be the most entertaining way to book him next? What do you think would yield the most entertaining fight?
You know what? I'm going to go with Jarzinho.
Jarzinho Rosenstrike.
Yeah.
I think you're very wrong. Oh my God!
Just because they're both gonna slug it out.
No, they're not. They're gonna both. I don't think they're gonna stand back and wait. And it's gonna be awful. It'll be like Francis Ngannou number two.
Well, that's my pick.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but I kind of just pooped all over it, didn't I? All
right.
Yeah.
I mean, without being a rematch, it's tough to find someone.
Sure, I can understand that. But you know what? I think I found one that I like.
Yeah.
Tom Aspinall.
Okay.
I think it'd be very interesting because Aspinall, first of all, has a long track record of ending it quick.
Yeah.
Even when he tears up his knee, unfortunately. Derek Lewis obviously has the boot button.
Of course.
And I'd be curious to see, because I don't think Aspinall's just going to sit back. I think he'll actually do something to create offense, I think it would be entertaining forever long it lasted. And I'll be honest, you just can't count Derek Lewis out. I don't think he'd win, but I absolutely could not count out the possibility that he does something wild with that power he's got and just puts out Tom Aspen.
He could.
I don't think it would happen, but I think we would come away with something fun.
Sure.
And that's all I want. All
right.
That's all I want. I would say, you know, honorable mention, Stipe Miocic. I think that'd be fun, too. I don't think Stipe would also just sit back, either.
No, Stipe would go for it.
I think he's got too much in him to do that.
The only time he ever did that was with Ngannou, it seems, when he tried to play it safer.
Yeah. But no, I think this would be interesting. So those are my two.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah, he won a fight against Rodrigo Nascimento, or so I'm told. My understanding was that after the first round, it was supposed to be declared a draw, as you would with all heavyweight fights that don't have a 10-8 in the first round or aren't finished in the first round.
A majority 10-8, I thought.
Majority 10-8, correct, yeah. Correct. Yeah, no, not one. One's not enough. That's a split draw. Or a majority draw. Majority draw, yeah. Thank you. Got to at least get my distinctions correct, right? Yeah, so there was a fight that happened. Honestly, look, truth be told, it was semi-entertaining. This was a decently entertaining heavyweight fight for the duration of like 2+ rounds, right?
I didn't hate it. I definitely hated the other heavyweight fight, but we'll talk about that later.
I loved that one. That was so good. Why didn't you like that?
Oh, boy.
It was so amazing. Anyway, yeah, we don't really have much to say off of the headliner other than what we've already said, but we do have a host of adventures in officiating as we leave UFC St. Louis with some Missouri officials frequently working these fights. Of course, there's some traveling judges, traveling referees as well, but yeah, Missouri likes to use their local guys.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly do. And in not all these cases, some of them involve the local guys. So let's get into our first adventure in officiating, which happened on the prelims. Trey Waters, who got the win over Billy Ray Goff by decision in the first round, delivers a knee to Goff. Goff is very, very down. He is super down as an opponent. Now, he's not like lying down, but to put it in perspective, there's people play the game, right? And they get the knee. We've talked about this throughout the years. And earlier this year, especially, we'll go back to, you know, the beginning of the year, there was Roman Dolidze, that whole fight, right? Mm-hmm. This is not someone playing the game. Billy Ray Goff's knee is down because he was in a position that was down and hadn't gotten back up. He's super down.
Super down.
Super down. As I believe that's a technical term. That's the language in the rules. Super down.
This is the language I understand.
Not penultimate.
No.
Okay. Super down. Hey, ultimate, super. What if I call it ultimate down?
Okay.
Or penultimate.
No.
No, not that one. But like even the fact that we have the rule change that's working its way into effect this summer at ABC, where they're more or less trying to get rid of the idea of playing the game, you know, a fighter's supposed to be considered down if they more or less have like a football point of contact down, right? Like a knee, an elbow, you know, their rear end, something like that, right? Something clear that would mark you down if you were playing football and you had the football in your hand and your knee touched the ground and say, okay, now you're down. It would work like that. This would still be down in the new world order. Mm-hmm. All that considered, local referee Josh Stewart, with the clearest view possible, staring right at the action, just lets this happen and we move on. I mean, look.
No warning, no nothing.
Not a thing. Didn't say a word. Not a thing. Now, look, on this show, we don't really like to embarrass referees. We don't like to embarrass judges. We like to be critical and fair. I think it's very fair to say, Josh Stewart, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
That's I don't think that's defensible. That was just a complete goof.
Seemed to wake Billy up.
It kind of did. I mean, it's funny because it's not like he got hit by the knee and did the whole like, oh, I got hit by a knee, you know, which I feel like, look, they hurt, but like a billion things hurt. And these guys keep going, right? A lot of the time. And now, once in a while, like they know they get hit by the knee and they're like, oh, it's like all of a sudden things are different, right? This, you're right, kind of just wakes him up. It doesn't excuse it. It's an illegal strike. It's a super illegal strike because he's super down. See, there you go. More.
Yeah, I think, see, one like that, I mean, that's just instant point. Bam.
That should be an instant point, exactly. You don't even have to stop the action if they want to keep going, but, like, you probably should stop the action.
Mm.
It was illegal. It just lets it go. No warning, like you said, nothing. No communication. It was just like, yep, we're allowed to do that in Missouri. But you're not. You're just not.
It was Pride St. Louis.
Yeah, right? Look, I'm okay with them making that strike legal if they want to.
I would love it. Yeah, I would love if that
were. We're not there. And we're not even going to be there when the change happens, like we outlined. This was a complete and total screw-up by referee Josh Stewart. There's nothing really more to say. I'm not saying he's a bad referee, but that was some bad refereeing. That's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that kind of... Well, you know what? We'll touch upon this later, actually. We'll save it because we're going to talk about this round for contested rounds.
Okay.
I have another thought on that, so we'll revisit that when we get there.
Yeah.
Did you have any more thoughts on this one?
No.
Okay, cool. Super cool. Just got super to everything.
Part two.
Part two. What's part two?
The next.
Oh, the next time we talk about it. Yeah.
The next adventure.
I see. I thought you meant the next adventure. Oh. There we go. Okay. I'm following you now. I work today, sir. We are going on to our next adventure, like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
with Slava Claus, Vyacheslav Borshov, getting, well, he decimated. Didn't lose in the way you'd ever like to lose, if you ever like to lose, because, yeah, he got decimated. Chase Hooper basically just messed him up for about 6 to 7 minutes, and then it was over.
That lump on his head, my God.
It didn't look good. You know, lumpy head.
Uriah Faber yelling. Dude, maybe just be happy to fight. It's over.
Yeah, but...
it's over.
Well, the reason why we're talking about this is because, yes, the fight did, in fact, end via tap out due...
Darce choke.
Due to a Darce choke, thank you. Keith Peterson jumps in to stop it when he sees what it looks to him to be a tap on the back of Chase Hooper, which immediately moves to kind of like a posting on the hip kind of thing. This is a very much like a, I feel like it's a gray area situation here, right? Because
I don't think so at all.
Well, please take the floor.
I think it's a clear as day tap.
Okay.
So I don't think there's any gray area. There may be gray area. Like, oh, maybe what? Like I tapped and then a quick, oh, let me try to pretend I'm doing something else. Because it's not as tight as I thought. It's kind of like a training thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like your instinct is, oh, you got me. That's what I feel. I'm making hand motions, Wes.
Yeah. There's no video on you. Sorry. We never got to that. We had grand plans of video, and then we never did it. So you'll never know what our recording studio looks like. It's epic. I don't know, man. I'm not the one that tries to get the benefit of the doubt in those situations. I do think there's a lot of, you know, gamesmanship in that gets utilized. And most of the time I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. Come on, guy. You're just trying to fake it. I don't know about this one. There's a little more doubt in my head on this one. Cause it like the arm like does kind of just like fall.
No, he got open palm. He hits him on the back.
I don't know.
That's a tap.
I wouldn't sit there. I wouldn't stand on a hill and die on it. You know, like, okay, it's fine. You know, it got close enough. So I don't know. I don't know, man. It just didn't look like somebody to me who was doing that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've been out of jiu-jitsu too long.
He taps, realizes, oh, no, I shouldn't have, and tries to just keep going.
Well, no, we've seen that before. I've seen that before. I didn't know that this looked equivalent to that.
Oh, I was dead. I'm 100% certain on this. This is a tap.
You know what? We could go in circles on this one. I'll concede on this one.
Like, also, if he protests this and tries to take this to get it turned into no contest, that would be ridiculous.
Well, I mean he can do what he wants. That would it's not be gonna happen
absurd, but I mean it would be absurd for it to get turned into an out contest,
but it's not going to.
I'm saying if it did.
Oh,
if it did because of this.
No,
and that would be worse.
It would be, absolutely.
So,
but it's not going to.
I agree, it's not going to, but it could.
I know, I'm just painting pain. Yeah, I don't know. It's again, it's kind of close enough to, and I can't, if this was instant replay, like watching football, where I take one position, you take another, I don't think there's enough evidence to overturn and say, oh, yeah, he didn't mean to tap.
No, I would, if I was the referee, I would say call on the field's confirmed.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there's not really much more to say about this one, right?
Nope.
Go on to the last one. Nursultan Ruzhaboyev, who lost to Joaquin Buckley in the co-main event. I saw these guys fight what feels like 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was the end of March, but it was a very quick turnaround for both of them. fighting in Atlantic City. Good fight. Fun fight. Mm-hmm. But results on Rusev gets a little rambunctious.
Yeah.
With the up kicks.
They weren't even up kicks. They were just heel kicks.
They were kind of just heel kicks. You're right. Yeah. He started doing them in the first round. Mm. Right? He's doing it in the first round. And it kind of just goes by. And except Brandon Fitzgerald, to his credit, points it out. And he's like, were those illegal? Or were those legal up kicks? And yeah, fair point, because they were not. They were not legal in the first round either. But Buckley kind of just, he didn't really get tagged by anything, so they just kind of kept going. Mm-hmm. And then Ruzaboyev goes for it again in the third round where he's getting his butt whooped. And these were a little harder, a little more clean, and a little more mm-hmm. like, hey, let's stop it and find out what the heck's going on here. This was Keith Peterson as well refereeing, yes. right? Correct, yeah. I thought he handled it well enough.
I thought it was fine. I was kind of, I think he confused Buckley a little bit because he kept telling him to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because he wanted to see if he was wobbled at all.
Right.
And I think Buckley thought he meant, okay, stand up. I'm standing you up.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Maybe I think there was a miscommunication there.
That could be.
I mean, he did block the kick, the one that landed that stopped it.
Yeah, yeah.
The other ones were kind of on the shoulder and on the back.
He didn't really take one to the face or anything.
I mean, I'm okay with no point being taken there. But I get you want to check on Buckley.
Probably for that. Probably would have liked to have had the warning in the first round when we all kind of saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It was definitely the first round, not the second round, that he gets waffled?
It was definitely the first round where it started. It might have been happening in the second round, but when I rewatched these rounds mm-hmm. again, because I had the whole event on yesterday, but I wasn't watching the score really until today, going over our rounds for the show.
Yeah.
So I rewatched rounds 1 and 3. I skipped over 2,
mm-hmm.
and it was definitely happening in the first round because I didn't watch 2.
Okay.
So again, it may have actually happened in all rounds for all I know.
Possibly.
But yeah. So really, when it comes down to it, the sheer number of times where it happened, I would have actually been okay with the point being taken because he clearly thought that he could do this thing that he could mm-hmm. not.
Okay.
Now, having said that, how do you feel about this position where there's a fighter on his back?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not allowed to throw a kick because the other guy is also down, technically, because they're on their knees. Would you be okay? Think of the Anderson Silva disqualification against Yushin Okami, right? Mm-hmm. Would you be okay with legalizing that strike?
Yeah, of course.
Well, obviously you would, but like, I mean, even in the context of like other, I feel like it makes a lot of sense to give someone who's very much in the more prone position because they're on their back, give them that weapon. That's okay. They're in a more compromised position. I think that should be allowed.
I want all kinds of strikes.
Well, of course you do.
In all kinds of positions to be legal.
I get that.
I mean, obviously the things like no back to the head stuff. Like mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Yeah, look, there's things you shouldn't be able to like do targets. Because of actual safety. Yeah.
Certain targets, but the way you hit those targets shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, I'm with you. But even in that context, like I feel like this is one that, you know, we're slowly moving to get things done, right? Like they're starting to move finally toward getting rid of 12 to 6 be illegal, right?
Right, yeah.
Finally
getting
there.
Only took 30 years.
It literally took 30 years, yeah. Well, I guess more than that. Less than that, excuse me. Unified rules.
Okay.
I mean, they used to be able to fish hook and, you know, do all that stuff. So.
But there was a point where they were still illegal, you just got fined.
Yeah.
But you didn't get told to stop doing it. Like, I think Joe-san was just getting punched below the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was just like $1,000 each.
Joe-san deserved that, to be fair.
He
absolutely 100% deserved to get punched there.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Of all the fighters in all the history of the UFC, he's probably the one who most deserved it.
Was he the one getting punched or was he doing the punching?
I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I've not watched, I think we've talked about this on the show. Yeah. Neither one of us has watched like as much of the like early NHB, you know, mid to late 90s. UFCs from the tournament days. Like we've seen pieces. I've seen
the whole show.
You've seen the whole shows,
but
okay.
I have not.
I
mean, I couldn't tell you the difference between 7 and 10 or
sure.
Or what's what?
No, I've admittedly not watched enough of them to begin with. So like I've certainly seen pieces, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm familiar with some of the history. But I wish we had made a concerted effort to go back and watch those, like we talked about.
1, 2, and
never
four
happened.
Are what I have. Most because one.
Well, those are the yeah.
One's
those are the
Hoist,
ones with
two's Hoist, and then 3 Hoist couldn't do, and then 4 Hoist.
4 is Hoist, yeah.
Again,
mm-hmm.
that was most into that.
Sure. So. No, I get that. But I am curious for you know for the sake of knowing a little bit more of my history, right? But it almost feels to me like saying like, hey, you like baseball? You should try and find some really, really old clips of Babe Ruth and just watch that because you love baseball. Yeah, I mean, that's great. But, like, nobody swings a bat like Babe Ruth anymore.
People use that to prove that Babe Ruth would be terrible in this day and age.
Babe Ruth would be terrible in this day and age.
But it's like, I mean, he'd adapt.
No, I don't know that he'd still be any good, though. We're not going to debunk. We're not debating Babe Ruth today. It's not happening. I'm cutting it off.
He is the GOAT.
Willie Mays.
Willie Mays is very good.
Willie Mays, I think I would put ahead. Because obviously I watched Willie Mays in my day.
I would like to debate this.
We're not doing it. But anyway, to go back to the actual
Derek
point.
Derek Jeter, Hall of Famer in any era.
Fine.
Okay.
Whatever.
Thank you.
Not a good owner.
Fair.
I feel like that, to get back all the way to the conversation we're trying to have here, the illegal strike that is giving kicks or striking a downed opponent while you're on your back, when you're on your back, you can throw anything. Just, I think that's fair. I think that's, I mean, you can't throw, like you said, like hit the kidneys and, you know, hit the back of the head. But other than that, fair game. Give them a little bit more of a weapon. I think that would be okay. It's very rarely going to really work out.
You get stuck in a leg lock. It's just heel to the face.
Good.
Bam, bam.
I like it. That's okay. Hey, we're protecting people's anterior cruciate ligaments now. We're looking about for fighter safety at this point.
So, but now, okay, now what do you do in a 50-50 position? Leg entanglements.
Everybody kicks each other.
Fair game, no matter what.
Just goes buck wild with everyone kicking each other on the ground. Okay. That would be hilarious. Right. You know, they would go viral. Yeah. People would love that. We've just improved the sport, and it's easy. It's so easy. Just let Nursultan do what he was allowed to do for a little while, and then finally was told, don't do it. Anyway, that was it for the Adventures of Officiating. Our unanimity report.
Slight regression, guys.
Yeah, I know. Slight regression. I know. We were all the way up to 98 or like 99.999 or something like that. Yeah.
I was hoping for perfect. We got one more week.
Whose fault was that?
We have one more week.
Own it.
We have one more week, guys.
All Dan's fault. 19 of 26 unanimous rounds this time. 73%. That is perfectly acceptable as far as a number.
It's in line with
what you're looking at. No problems with that. Two of these rounds also were 9-8 splits. So we've got, you know, some good agreement on who won these rounds. That said, we have 7 of them, which is, I feel like it's been a while since we've had as many as 7 to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's dive into it, man. Starting with, the fight we were just talking about. Joaquin Buckley, Nursultan Ruzibayev. 30-26, 30-27, and 29-27, all in Buckley's favor. Rounds 1 and 3 are split. 1 is where we're talking about who won the round. So, Dan, go over this one, please.
Pretty close round. Kind of a feeling out early. Then Ruzibayev tries a running knee.
And then it's on.
Kind of lands. And it actually helps Buckley just drive him forward like a linebacker making a tackle. Gets the double leg. And he kind of just stays in guard for a while with no real punches thrown. One or two here and there as they're kind of standing up. And then once they get up, they swing wildly. And Ruzibayev lands a solid combo. Buckley backs up halfway across the cage. Ruzibayev tries this again. He charges with a knee. Lands in like the chest area, I guess. And forces another linebacker double. They scramble here for a while as both are throwing, you know, shots. Buckley with punches and Ruzibayev with elbows. I think Buckley has the advantage in the ground and pound here. But then once he gets back on the feet, they kind of stare at each other for a while. Buckley is getting a little upset. He's like, come on, you know, let's fight. Probably gets a little impatient. He starts advancing, swinging wildly and missing while eating counters. I think Ruzibayev more effective. So 10-9 him.
Yeah, I did too. But man, this was close. Like they both get in some decent ones. But you're right. There's a good amount of this round where just like a lot of nothing happened until it really did start to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So we got there. We got to the point where there was enough to score, right? Yeah. It wasn't one of those rounds where you're like, oh, come on, you got to do more. I feel like they got there.
Mm-hmm.
But they both just got in. Good amount of offense either way. I like Ruzibayev's offense as well. Yeah, this could go either. So we're on the same page, my friend. We are against the majority, which was Henry Geary and Chris Lee. Geary being a local Missouri judge. So we ended up siding with Judge Sal D'Amato. What does that mean for Judge D'Amato?
Catch that override.
Trying to put extra oomph into these last few. These are going to be some of our last catch that overrides. Get a little teary-eyed. No. Actually, I didn't sound teary-eyed. That sounded like I had a stomach issue. Dan, let's go over round 3 now. We're talking about the degree to which Joaquin Buckley won the round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Buckley dropped him twice this round. He's on top of him, dominating by getting into the mount, landing big ground and pound. Briefly gets reversed, but Ruzaboyev does nothing. And before long, Buckley reverses it back. He's on top, landing good ground and pound. I think that's a pretty easy 10-8. I think we got all D's.
Yeah, I think so. I like the D here.
The 8?
Yeah, I like the 8 here. Okay. That's what she said. Nothing beats Aljo, though.
That's true.
Yeah. We can't even say that on air. That'll get us taken off YouTube. He didn't even mean to say it. Yeah, so I've got the 8 here, just like you. I agree with Judges Lee. We agree with Judges Lee and D'Amato. It was the local judge, Gary, who gave a 10-9 to Buckley. I'm not really sure what you're looking for there. I mean, I don't know if it just speaks to relative inexperience compared to the guys like Lee and D'Amato who work these big fights every week that we're seeing these scenarios and stuff. I don't know. But Gary certainly works whenever the UFC comes around. This is not the first time we talked about this crew. So hopefully take something away and say, okay, I'll know that for the future. This is an 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that fight. Let's move on to our other 8-9 split in Waldo Cortez Acosta's barn burner against Robles de Spain. Unanimous decision, 30-26, 30-27 twice. We're only on round 3, which is unfortunate. I would love to go on and on about rounds 1 and 2 of this fight because it was just epic.
So you know what? Epic. To be honest. I want to ask a judge. I mean.
You want to ask who?
It was so clear once Cortez Acosta was on top with a takedown.
Yeah.
The round wasn't going anywhere else. It was over.
Mm-hmm.
Do we say that's effective grappling? If Cortez Acosta does nothing else the round, because he can't get up, he can't do anything. He doesn't even know how to get up. It seems.
I mean, it's effective enough.
It's like I don't know. Because once he took him down, because the round we're about to talk about, once he took him down, it's over. It's like, all right, well, might as well just call the fight.
Correct.
It's done.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's probably the only really interesting takeaway I've got from this.
I mean, if Despain's grappling is rated a 1 on a 1 to 10 scale, then Cortez Acosta's is probably like a 2.5, which is still significantly better. So, I don't know. We are going to talk about round 3, though, and find out the degree to which we think Cortez Acosta took this round. So, let's talk about it.
I mean, for the first 3 minutes, Cortez Acosta, I think he landed one inside leg kick. The rest is to Spain with, you know, sporadic shots, a few hard inside leg kicks, a good jab, and that front kick to the face.
Yeah, it was a decent front kick.
And then he gets taken down. And it completely flips. He gets busted up a bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Cortez landed some good shots. He wins the round. I don't think it crosses over 2-8. And I'm not mad it did, but I don't think it does. I think Despain had enough offense, and I don't think Cortez Acosta really had that much to cross 2-8 from losing.
Yeah, I feel like this wasn't like a round where you say, oh yeah, Despain didn't earn his 9. I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
Earn his 9 here. I think he gets in some offense. I think he absolutely was like completely defeated inside of those final 2 minutes. He looked hopeless to a higher degree than he had in those first 2 rounds. So this is those final 2 minutes of the fight, I would say, were the most desperate for Despain. They looked pretty bad. But again, I don't know that the damage even gets to the point where you're saying, okay, we kind of want to check that off. I think it's flirting with it, but it's not there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And certainly the grappling dominance was displayed. He was able to kind of get into these places and things like that. But it's just it's not there. It's not enough.
Like, he didn't even have to pass.
No.
It's like, just take you down. Because oh my God. He didn't try to shrimp. He didn't even try to frame. He didn't even try to, I don't know.
He was kind of just like, yeah, I'm down. I guess I'll wait this out. I guess I took my L. At least I get paid for this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it's not he's thinking, but it's like, I don't know that. I can't remember the last time I saw a fighter in the UFC look so hopeless on the ground and then also not be finished.
Yeah.
This was pretty bad. This was kind of awful, actually. Dan's going to die.
I had an itch in my throat. I didn't know how to get rid of it.
Bad news. This is actually why the show's ending. Dan is dying.
Thanks.
Dan is not dying. I made that up. No. Good things are on the horizon for Dan, which we'll talk about at a later date. What we won't talk about at a later date, and we're going to talk about right now, is Tabitha Ricci getting the split decision win over Tisha, don't call me Torres, Pennington. 29-28 all around. We are split on round 2.
Mm.
So let's talk about this swing round.
Early on the feed, I think it's pretty close. I do have a slight edge for Ricci because she lands a nice Superman punch. I think it was the most impactful shot up to this point. And then she clinches and they kind of exchange, you know, small little punches here and there. Ricci has some knees, but nothing really all that effective. I mean, her nose is bleeding a little bit. They do spend a lot of time here.
A whole lot.
Like a long time here.
Mm-hmm.
They separate with like 50 seconds, I would say. And Pennington does land some good punches. She's going after. Ricci's firing back, but she's not getting anything great here. I think Pennington does steal the round. 10-9.
Yeah, I think maybe Ricci might have gotten like one solid-ish shot in the final seconds. But yes, absolutely. I think mostly it's Pennington. Not that it's like to a high degree, but she's definitely taking control of that final minute, which was where a lot of the offense was concentrated, realistically. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the more effective offense. Everything that happened in that cage clinch situation, you can't just discount it because there are... There are things happening. There is attempts to hurt the other opponent, but they're just not getting it done, you know?
No, Ricci landed some good shots there, but Pennington was landing some decent ones too. I mean, her nose is starting to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ricci put a little more oomph in those knees, you know, not such sturdy knees.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm okay either way. This is close round. So.
It is a close round. Yeah, I wouldn't die on this hill, but I feel like we can actually give this one to Pennington as well. So I'm with you, which means we are against judges Brian Puccillo, traveling judge who frequently works in the Midwest, and Chris Lee.
Mm.
We sided with one of the local judges, Rob Francis, who was the only one to give this round and thus the fight to Pennington. So what does that mean for Judge Francis?
Couch that over. Let him rip.
Yep. Enjoyers, that's the only one you're ever getting, Francis. I'm not being mean, it's just true.
Mm.
It's just true. They're not coming back to Missouri. Not before we end this thing. By the way, did you hear any feedback from our millions of listeners about the show end?
No.
Oh.
I didn't.
I'm sure the other 999,999, they'll chime in.
Okay.
We're gonna hear from it. Let's go on. I want to go back to this fight, especially because we talked about this earlier. Trey Waters getting the win over Billy Ray Goff. It was a unanimous nod. 30-27 twice and 29-28. Competitive-ish fight. You know, it's not like it was like a blanking here, you know, but Waters obviously did enough to get the round most of the time. We're split on round one. So let's talk about this one.
Yeah, I mean, what a round. It starts off with Goff landing some good leg kicks and Waters landing some good shots to the head, ones and twos, good counters. I think Waters is kind of building up a decent lead on the feet. Goff's wearing some damage, but no, not an insurmountable lead. Goff got a couple takedowns, which nothing really came of it. Then after this knee kind of wakes Goff up and he wobbles Waters. They're in a firefight and Waters puts Goff down to a knee. Gets back up, and in the final 30 seconds, it was just wild, you know, back and forth. I think Waters holds on to the lead he had, 10-9.
So I agree, but I actually want to ask you a question.
Mm.
So we all agree that the knee was to a super down opponent.
Yeah.
To use again, the official language that is in the criteria, don't look that up, he is super down. We all know it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
The referee does not indicate that it is illegal. Maybe he goes around after the round and tells the judges that when he was illegal, disregard it. Maybe he does that. But short of that, you kind of have to count it, don't you?
That, yeah.
Yeah. You're he is the sole arbiter, the referee in this instance, Josh Stewart. So if he's letting it slide, that counts.
So also, yeah. Which I'm glad you brought that up because also, I mean, you want to see what the reaction, what the effect of it is. And wasn't that much of an effect to it.
No, it wasn't. I mean, all things considered, you're right. Like we said.
I don't think it's a round changing strike in that sense.
No, but it scores.
Yeah, of course. 100%. Of course. But yeah. I don't think it's.
And it is a competitive fight, too. That's a competitive round.
Yeah.
So in theory, that does make a difference, you know? But yeah, I don't know. Maybe he does go around and tell all the judges, Sal D'Amato, David Hyatt, and Travis Besking. Maybe he goes and tells all of them, you know, that knee that I kind of let go? Yeah, that one was illegal. Don't count that. I don't know.
I mean, it's possible he did that, but I mean, could also be like, just let that one die and let's not talk about it anymore.
Hopefully not.
Let's not acknowledge it.
I think we all saw it. it's literally on ESPN. But anyway, so yeah, like... I think you just count that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that's just the way it works. But anyway, so we both sided in the majority for Waters. We sided again with Judge D'Amato and Judge Hoyette. It was Travis Besking who had this one for Goff, which is a valid score.
Mm-hmm.
Super valid score. I'm just adding super to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am super.
He's a super guy.
I am. Thank you. Should you think so? We got two more rounds here. Sean Woodson got the win over Alex Caceres. I think it lived up to the billing of being an interesting technical battle on the feet.
No, this was a good fight.
Yeah.
See, it's like we get the one fight where there's no reason why Rebelos de Spain should be in the UFC. And then we get this next super high level back and forth match.
It was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
But you know, the scorecards will make it look like Woodson would just dominate him, which is not really what it was. It was a very competitive fight that he kind of just won a lot of these rounds like close, right?
The gambling community was
up
in arms over this. And yeah, they were going, guys, nuts. I mean, at least use the criteria to back your argument. At least try.
I'm going
to
call out. Please continue.
I'm going to say a lot more on this topic next week.
All right.
But I mean, I'm just so
parting happy. Shots. I like it.
I'm so happy to be leaving this portion of the space.
Be careful what you say. I'm in front of you.
Leaving this portion of the space because I just don't have to see it no more.
Yeah. I'm going to call out. We haven't even talked about this round yet, but I'm going to call out someone who has already mea culpa, essentially.
Okay.
Mike Heck.
Okay.
Over at MMA Fighting. Decent guy as far as I know. I followed him on Twitter. He used to follow me on Twitter. Then he unfollowed me on Twitter. I don't really know what I did. But anyway. Does a decent job with what he does. But he posted the scorecards afterward. And he calls out, I believe it was Judge Henry Gary. And says, essentially, like, how can you be giving out round three to Woodson?
Because
he couldn't believe that there was a 30-27 there.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to him. And caught by Big John McCarthy. Which is why the reason I'm bringing this up is because I actually got on Big John's radar and I thought it was worth it. Big John points out all three judges awarded the round to Sean Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there.
I didn't see this.
You didn't see this? Yeah. No. And so from there, Mike Heck replies and says, you know what? That's on me. I think he might have called himself an idiot, if I recall. And said he's going to have to rewatch it and double check. So, okay. You know what? It pulled back, right?
Okay.
Because I feel like that's like. When you and I watch a round and we think it went one way and all three judges had it the other way, we're like, man, what'd I miss? And I think that's the right reaction. It's not just boldness and saying like they all got it wrong. He actually had the humility to at least say, I'm going to have to watch this again. So I appreciate
that's good.
Yeah. I'm not trying to like, you know, throw shade at Mikey Heck. I just thought that was like, I thought it was an interesting interaction.
Also, you'll never have their vantage point.
This is true.
You're just going to watch it again on TV.
It is a tricky thing.
So,
but look, sometimes we all see a bad round. There are times. I don't know that was the case with this round, but that was round three. We're actually, the split round was round two, and that's what we're going to talk about. So Dan, tell us what happened in round two.
I think it's very close, like really, really close. Mm-hmm. Caceres gets stumbled by a combo from Woodson early in the round. But as the round goes on, Caceres starts landing some pretty good shots. Woodson's able to land some good body kicks throughout this round. What puts it over for Woodson is he has a late combo and then a good stinging punch to the face that seemed to make Caceres have to take a step back, right, like almost as the round's ending. Really close, though, but I got 10-9 Woodson.
Yeah, super close. I don't have much more to add other than I agree that it was a close round, and I did end up on the side of Woodson here. So, yeah, if you're getting up in arms about this, I'm sorry. You probably just have a little bit too much invested.
Yeah, you don't have a clear lens.
There's certainly ways to see it one way or the other, and you can feel that way, but there's just not enough here to say that this is a definitive round for one person or another, especially when you factor in the vantage points and say, maybe they saw one or two strikes better than you, or maybe they saw one or two strikes worse than you, depending on where they were sitting.
Also, let me point out, in the third round, because we talked about this before, Bisping makes a comment, which everyone hears clear as day, is Caceres is winning this round without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
He says that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's going to
ideas get planted in their heads.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So
it's one of those things, like, if you're not wholly aware of it, it's very easy to just accept it.
Mm.
And even at that, it's still tricky.
Yeah.
So that is certainly something all people should keep in mind when they're watching fights and trying to score. If you have the commentary, you're already influenced by something else. You just, you got to accept that. But yeah, so I sided with you. I had it for Woodson. Could have gone either way. But we ended up in the minority here, going against Sal D'Amato and Brian Pacillo, who had it for Caceres. We had it with Judge Henry Gary. What does that mean for Judge Gary?
Couch side override. Judge Gary with the official final couch side override.
No?
Yeah.
Next week.
No, no, they're going to be perfect next
week. Oh, sorry. My mistake.
Guys will be perfect. I have faith.
Yeah, across two events.
Yes.
Good luck. Look, you blew it last week. You got to accept it, man.
I don't know if I ever could.
Yeah, you probably can't. Because it'd be it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm the villain.
Yeah.
One more round here. We're going all the way back to the main event. Derek Lewis gets the win in the third round. TKO over Rodrigo Nascimento. But before that, round two was a split round. So let's talk about this one, sir.
Yeah, decently close round. I think Lewis landed the more impactful shots when the fight was on the feet. Nascimento does get it down, and he's on the back. But I don't think he really did that much when he was on the back until Lewis kind of turns into him and he ends up in top half guard. And Nascimento lands some elbows. Close enough, but I got it for Lewis 10-9.
I also had it for Lewis 10-9. This was certainly a round two that actually triggered a couple people when they saw the scorecard. And I'll be frank, I at least see a point in them being like, what's going on here? I don't think it's the most egregious round ever. But I think this is a Lewis round.
I think it's Lewis's round. But I mean, also action's happening right in front of Sal D'Amato.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Getting
and look,
bombed on.
And Judge D'Amato is as experienced as they come. There's nobody else. He is the guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this was necessarily the strongest score from my vantage point, right? It ends up not really mattering. It was also the minority score here. So, but yeah, I don't want to say it was clear. It's like almost close, but clear.
Mm.
I don't even think it's quite there, but I'm getting close to it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Close to close, but clear.
Okay.
We'll call it that. I did it. Like I said, we had it for Lewis, both you and I. So we agreed with judges, Chris Lee and Brian Pacillo, veteran judges in their own right as well. So, but that is it for UFC St. Louis.
It is not it for UFC St.
Louis. Oh, that's right. I lied. Bum, bum, bum. There's a 10-7 watch.
Yes.
Chase Hooper, of all people, is not the one who I expected to get a 10-8 unanimous. He hasn't shown that kind of dominance, especially in his career yet. He's very young, so obviously he's got it in him. He showed it. But I think I'm surprised that it happened against Slava Claus here.
I think Slava Claus is surprised it happened.
No one was more surprised than Slava Claus, I think. But like we said, he finishes the round, or finishes the fight in the second round with a Darce in, like I said, round two. But before that, we had all three judges, Rob Francis, Travis Besking, and David Hyatt, three of the four local judges. They had this one as a 10-8 for Hooper, who, I mean, drops him.
Mm-hmm.
He pounds on him till the point he starts to lose a little bit of steam. Just utterly clear 3Ds being checked off in this fight, in this round, right?
Okay,
so no one's debating whether it's an 8, but is it a 7?
So I would love for rounds like this to be a 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dominance is overwhelming. I think the duration is overwhelming. I think the damage is teetering to that level. I don't think it got to it. So that's why I'm on the 8.
You know what? I think that's a really accurate way to describe it. I think you said it really well, because it flirts with a 7.
Yeah.
It actually does.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these where we're like, no, come on. What are you talking about? This is just a clear 8, or no, this is like barely an 8.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone got there.
Mm-hmm.
This is one where it's like, all right, we're starting at least, I think we're closer to the 7 than we are the 9.
Oh, yeah.
Very much
for sure.
Very much so.
Yeah. 9 would be a bad score.
If one of these judges gave a 7, and realistically, none of these local judges is going to give a 7. Let's just be frank here. It's not going to happen. It takes a very rare judge, a very experienced judge typically, or a rather gutsy judge, to give out the 7. It just does not happen. So no one who understands how this works should ever look at these three individuals and say, come on, you couldn't have given the 7? No, they really couldn't have. I'm just like, let's just be honest. They wouldn't have done it.
I know one person who thought they should have.
Well, that person doesn't necessarily know as much about the way or accept as much about the way fights are judged. But no. His tweets do end up on the broadcast, as we know.
Yeah,
but
nonstop.
He's not your favorite.
Because any challenge he gets, he just, you know, block, mute. I mean, it's like, all right, whatever.
You know from experience, dude.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. if I can get a Chris Farley reference in, I'm happy. But yeah, I honestly, this might be, this would have been an interesting one to put in our 10-7 episode last
year. Yeah.
I would have liked doing that.
This was good. See, you know, because it had a lot of, you know, damage type
of a lot offensive. Of the traits, yeah. A
lot of punching, a lot of elbows. But it also had a lot of grappling,
mm-hmm.
like submission attempts too.
Which unfortunately is just not the type of thing that they kind of want for 10 sevens.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like a cross between Bryce Mitchell and Charles Rosa, which is all grappling, mm-hmm. which is unanimous 10-8. And then you have other, you know, unanimous 10-8s, like a Khamzat fight,
mm-hmm.
where it's mostly just beating the crap out of you while you're on the ground with punches. No real strong sub attempts.
Right.
It's kind of had both.
I think the key thing with this one that kind of really prevents it from getting there is just the simple fact that Hooper really does slow down. They noted it on the broadcast, but I mean, it was clear as day. Like,
well, he went see him. Huh? He was like, I'm going to finish this guy right now.
He did. He just couldn't get him out of there. And yeah. He kept trying, mm-hmm. but they were slowing down and we were getting diminishing returns. So once that starts to happen, it's kind of visible and it's a little different, you know? But then he does kind of get that second win later, too. He even gets a few.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so we're not there, but very close. And I, like you, would also like to see this be a 7. I would love to see the definition move. Yeah, exactly. Just a little more achievable. I like that. And now that's really it.
Yes.
That's it for this event. Other than the finishes, which we had 5 of, 4 by TKO or KO, 1 was a sub. 2 fights ended in the first round, both under 40 seconds, as you noted, sir. Good job. What was your favorite?
Well, I see we're censoring the outline now.
I did that to joke with you.
Chase Hooper beating the crap out of Slava Claus.
The word you used started with an S, but then I replaced it with a word that starts with an F. Feces.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite. And then, you know, getting the Darce choke, you know, to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
But what about
He really tap?
Yeah. Without a doubt.
I'm not relitigating that. Mine was Esteban Ribovic, right? I think I'm saying it wrong.
Ribovic is.
Was it Ribovic? Yeah, it's multiple Ribovic's. Mm-hmm. my favorite part about this,
mm-hmm.
it's a violent head kick knockout, first
yes.
off. And it immediately shuts off the lights of Terrence McKinney in 37 seconds. It's just, it's over. Foot touches it, hits his nose, makes his nose start to bleed, and it's over. But the way Terrence McKinney fell, it's almost like the safest looking knockout I've ever seen, where someone's lights completely went out.
He's like, and it's seated.
He falls down straight on his bottom. Mm-hmm. He's right up against the cage. His head just kind of comes to rest against the cage, so he doesn't have the whole, like, oh, my head smacked against the canvas. Yeah. It was like the most giving, most comfortable way that I've ever seen a fighter just get knocked out. And I kind of like that because he didn't end up getting more extra damage on top of the knockout than he needed. It was nice. Not that he meant to do it, but it was almost like a polite knockout.
My favorite part of that knockout is Sal D'Amato was right there.
Uh-huh.
And his reaction.
I did not see his reaction.
So he's like.
You're doing the eyes wide open and mouth open face. Yeah,
fight was all right. We can, you know, get a, you know, when they did the slow motion, it was great.
I missed that. So, no, I didn't see
it. He's just right to the left of it.
That's funny. I'll have to go back and watch that one. Hey, look, we can all enjoy the sport.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And the moment that he went unconscious, Sal's job was more or less over. He didn't have to put a score down.
There's no more
score.
He didn't
do anything. Yeah.
Unless you're in Virginia.
Oh, God. And sometimes Florida.
Oh, Florida does
they
too?
They do occasionally, oh, okay. Yeah, Florida. That is really it. We can put a pin in UFC St. Louis and start looking ahead to, good God, our final weekend of couchside judges, contested rounds,
mm-hmm.
scorecards.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come off of first Bellator Champions Series Paris, a.k.a. Bellator 303.
Mm-hmm.
A.K.A. PFL Tour 2 or 3? Is this the third one? I can't remember.
It's one of them.
Yeah. I don't know. Losing track at this point.
I mean, Bellator still has their own website. It's like they haven't merged.
Why not?
Yet, so.
Why not? They already got it. They're already paying for it. It's probably paid for.
Yeah.
Probably paid up through the year or something. I don't know. But this one starts at
There's no patchy mix photo on it. It's just a silhouette. And that's the main event.
I didn't go. I've not been to the Bellator website in a while.
I was searching for the start time because all I had was the prelim start time at 11. And there's only 10 fights. So I was like, what's it going
to
be?
Can I give you a tip for the future? Not that this is going to matter to you much anymore, but ESPN's MMA schedule is very good. You just click on the event and it'll tell you when each part starts.
See, I didn't think they would
tell me. That's
where
I get all these from.
I didn't think they would tell me Bellator.
Surprise. They do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They do. Which is why I know that this will start the main card at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Friday.
Mm.
That's your middle of the Friday afternoon MMA that you've been looking forward to all your life.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. Just do Wednesday nights.
We got a Yankee game that night.
Well, you can get this in before the game. There you go. Hey, if you want to record on Saturday night, you better watch it live.
We'll
because
see.
Who knows if it's going to be available on the app right after.
Oh, my God. That's true. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. I don't know if they've got their act together yet.
Oh, jeez.
Who knows?
Wow.
Let's see what HBO Max does. Patchy Mix, like you mentioned, he is defending his 135-pound title, his now unified title, against someone he's already choked unconscious in Magomed Magomedov.
Yep.
I spoke to Patchy a few weeks ago.
I believe I was there for that. Was that Mohegan Sun?
It might have been.
For the semifinals?
Yeah, it was a semifinal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Like, Patchy, he didn't even defend it.
Patchy said he's basically treating this like it's a brand new matchup. Like he's never fought them before and he's going to be completely different. But realistically, he's not going to be that much different.
Mm.
The fight will go different, but this is the first rematch of Patchy's career. So I think that's just the mindset he's taking into this one. I'm sure Magomedov is going to be competitive. Anyone with not just one, but two Magomeds in their name has to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. I don't make the rules. But yeah, I mean, I don't love the matchmaking here. It seems like an unnecessary retread. And all it really does is make you say, well, obviously they have nothing left for Patchy Mix to do in Bellator. And that he ought to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, he was already talking about, like, I should just fight at 45.
Set him free.
And I don't blame him, because there's nothing else to do.
Go to 35 at the UFC.
Look.
We would love that.
I'm glad he still gets to fight with elbows and gets to do the normal stuff, because it's Bellator still, and they're keeping all that and that kind of thing. But realistically, yes. If he is still fighting at bantamweight, he ought to be in the UFC. He's done there. He's conquered the mountain. Just let him move on. Again, give him the 45. Maybe let him run through a 45 season and try to get $1 million again.
Owner of the PFL. I don't know your name.
It's owned collectively by a bunch of people, but Don Davis is essentially the head guy.
If you're a true fight fan, let him go fight in the UFC.
Yeah, I don't know.
Business aside, don't worry about that part. Just give the fans, let them have what they want.
If they cared that much about bantamweight, they would have made a bantamweight team done it. They just decided not to.
Well, that's kind of my point here. We just don't care about it. Let them go fight.
But yeah, that's realistically, there's only one other fight that I think anyone's really talking about. And that is Cedric Doumbé, who is coming over from essentially PFL Europe and coming off a loss, too.
But that was a weird
loss
thing, right?
It was. Yeah, there was some strangeness to it. Yeah. But I mean, look, he just lost, right? It's almost like people just want to forget that he lost because they like him. It happened. It did happen, right? But he is going to look to get back on track against Jaleel Willis here. They fight at 170. Look, Doumbé's fun. He's interesting. You know, we'll see what he can become here. I don't know that this is... It's probably a good get-right fight, you know? Because obviously he is coming off that loss. Other than that, I'm sorry. This is not a compelling Bellator card. It's not. They've let a lot of the talent go. I mean, if you look down the bout order on the prelims, like kind of deep in the prelims, like early on, Aspen Ladd is fighting.
I saw Aspen Ladd was on there. Yeah.
So like, I mean, she's there. She's obviously one of the top women at 145 pounds, but I still don't know that I would put her as another fight that I'm interested in watching. I guess I'm more or less curious how it goes.
I want to say expect a slow pace
of
the whole card.
No, PFL has been better.
If the prelims are starting at 11 a.m. and there's only 10 fights and the main card is not till 3 p.m., it's going to be slow.
Yeah. All right. I'll grant you that. We'll see how it goes. Actually, I thought it was noon. I actually think it's noon.
Well, okay. If they're going to say the pre-show is from 11 to noon.
It probably is.
And then noon's when the first fight is. I'm the one telling you. They may not tell you that.
Well,
I will let you know that.
The good old ESPN MMA schedule, I believe, said noon.
But when can we watch it? Where can we watch it live? Will it be on Max?
Yeah, it should be on Max.
On live, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I hope
so. I think you should be able to watch it live on Max.
I hope so.
So, yeah, keep score. Yeah, all right. Let's see what we get. Because there's no turning back. This is our last chance. But that's it. It's in Paris. So I imagine we'll be getting some really top European judges. You know, maybe we'll see the likes of Ben Cartlidge and David Lethaby. We'll probably also get some French judges in there too. So there's that. That could always be some interesting stuff going on there. Maybe we'll get some 10-10s. Jesus, please no. Please no 10-10. I don't want to talk about a 10-10 next week. That's my request.
Scott doesn't want to talk about a 10-10.
Do it for me. Don't give. You think about putting a 10-10? Just put a 9 with somebody. Just make a guess. Just make a guess, guy. Come on. It's like when you get. It's like when you do the Scantron test when you're in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, listen, I don't know the answer here. Now, like, I was a good test taker, so this didn't happen very often. But for me, once in a while, you get there, and it's like, listen, better to put something down than nothing down. When you put 10-10, you put nothing down.
See,
if
I came across things on the Scantron, like, I'd have, like, say, like. Like three straight answers to the answer C, and I get to the fourth one, and I'm a little off. I'm like, it can't be C.
There's
again.
No way they would do
I'm
it
like,
again.
They wouldn't do C again. I'm like, then I'm like, I start leveling, and I'm like, maybe they want me to think they won't go C again, so maybe it is C.
You psych yourself
and
out.
And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And I don't even know what end. I'm like, oh, fill out C again.
Were you a good test taker?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Not standardized testing. I didn't. Care for that stuff, but like
my son's doing standardized testing for the first time right now. But he's a good test taker, so I'm not even worried about it. I'm like, how is it? He's like, it was fun. I'm like, sounds like testing. Yeah,
the time limits or the time constraints are what my problem.
I understand
because I read slow, and if I have to go and I don't retain it, mm-hmm. if I'm not interested in it, so I got to read it again, and then I'm like, I didn't pay attention at all to what I was reading. I got to read it a third time.
Sure, sure.
And it's like, I ran out of time by then. So that's not what I did with the criteria because I was interested in it.
Of course. So and you read that over and over again. It's only 3 pages. That.
Yes. Even single spaced.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been telling people to read the criteria at the top of the show for like literally 3 years. Yeah. So, you know, I would hope by now you've accepted that you can do that too.
Yeah.
You're usually the one who says it even. Anyway. And our final event, the last one that we're going to be talking about. Saturday night, main card, 7 p.m. Eastern time start. UFC Vegas number 91.
Oh, you did find the number.
I had it on my calendar. Okay. I do write down. I have a calendar of my own that I kind of used to keep track of things.
Okay.
So I did know the number. Yeah, you put down whatever number or something.
I put Vegas something.
Vegas something. That's right. That's honestly, it's a fair way to describe it. Mm-hmm. Our headliner, the guy I like watching, Edson Barboza, and Laurent Mouffry is. I'm good to see him get this opportunity to fight in a main event. For the first time against Barboza, I do think it'd be a pretty solid fight, but it's like, who cares?
It's a fine fight. It's not a headliner to me.
No. No, I don't think so either.
So.
But you know what? We do get 5 rounds of Barboza. So,
I'm glad it's not, you know, heavyweights.
Is Murphy gonna try and take him down for 5 rounds? Because those are not the fun fights with Barboza. If they're not that, we get some good stuff.
You don't think Khabib beating the crap out of him was fun?
Wasn't particularly fun.
Well, not for Edson.
No.
I mean he got beat up.
He did, but that doesn't make it fun. I'm not saying it was a boring fight. Like honestly, when Khabib fights, the way he fights, even when he's making it like not fun, it's intriguing. You're like, you're interested in the carnage that he's delivering. But it's not like the most exciting fight.
Okay, it's not Diaz Daly.
Yeah, you get me. I think you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. No, I liked. I'll watch any Khabib fight.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, his unique set of skills was. Amazing. It would have been nice to see him go a little more, but that was what he wanted to do, and I respect that.
I got a question. Like, where would Khabib be? Say the judges do score for Tebow.
Uh huh.
Now he's not 27-0. Do you think it matters to him at all?
I don't think it changes anything he does.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
I think he would do the exact same way. I think obviously it changes the way everybody views him because his entire legacy is based around the fact that he did not lose.
Yeah.
You take that away. It's not that he didn't do anything else. I mean, he beat up Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
He
beat up Dustin Poirier.
He also got out of a nice guillotine against Dustin Poirier. and he beat up
Michael Johnson.
Justin Gaethje. He beat up Michael Johnson. Talking to Dana White. He's had some amazing performances.
I don't know if he beat up Gaethje. He beat Gaethje in terms of winning. But I think Gaethje beat him up. until Gaethje got caught in the
triangle. It was competitive.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that leg was getting bad before he triangled him.
Yeah, but he was also having some pretty reasonable success on the feet too.
I don't remember the fight that much.
All right, well.
But I remember that I think if I had it, you know, without the finish, I think worse for wear would be Khabib.
Yeah, but that's like
just saying. That's what it's in terms of beating up, not even in terms of winning, just getting beat up.
Justin Gaethje opted not to fight anymore.
Okay,
he lost.
He did.
Anyway, there are some fights here on this card. Actually, I'm interested in you marked this.
I put this down just because I knew you would put it down, so I got ahead of the game.
But don't you like it?
I like it more for the fact that Carlson Harris
against Cass Williams. Yes. I like Cass Williams, as you know. Yeah. He's always interesting to me. Carlson Harris, I like as well. Yeah. I think it's a nice matchup. I actually really like
Cass. Cass has two straight split decisions, so I'm a little nervous that he might do that again, and we have to talk about it.
But that's okay. I like talking about Cass Williams fights.
But I mean, Carlson Harris has been finishing dudes, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be a good fight.
I think so, too. And Cass has power. He's a good striker.
Yeah.
The fact that he's in these split decisions, I don't think speaks to the fact that he's like not a good fighter or something like that.
I'm not saying that.
You know, I think it's exactly what you said.
I'm saying I want to bring the chaos.
But I'm saying I want to put words in your mouth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Things that you didn't mean to say or didn't even feel. That's what I want to do.
Okay.
I added this one, though. I added Adrian Yanez going against Vinicius Salvador. I like Yanez. He had some setback, you know, but I want to see more of him. I think he can still develop.
Be cool if the Dr. Pepper would sponsor him.
Maybe one day.
The UFC would be like, hey, we'll put the Dr. Pepper logo on your shorts for a fee.
How do you feel about Dr. Pepper?
I'm good with it.
I do not like it.
Really?
No, not even a little bit.
Does it have caffeine in it? I haven't had soda.
I don't know if it does or not.
Time. I know. I love root beer.
Oh, root beer's the stuff. The problem, which kind of root beer? Because it's not all good.
So, I like Stewart's.
Is fantastic.
Boylan's is tremendous.
I don't have enough Boylan's, to be honest. I think it's fine.
I don't like the fact that AMC uses
Barks,
which is one of the very few that have caffeine. I'm not allowed caffeine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I can't get that. And I want to. And they got the cool machines where you can mix flavors with it. And I really want to put vanilla in my root beer.
Which is honestly the only way you can drink Barks root beer. Barks root beer on its own is terrible. You add vanilla, very drinkable. Very good.
What about Dad's root beer?
I don't know that one.
I think that was an old Costco brand or Pathmark brand.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely, my grandmother used to buy, shout out to my grandmother, it's Mother's Day. I love my grandma. She's gone a while, but she used to buy Pathmark root beer.
Okay.
So if it was that, I definitely drank it and it was good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Janet Bosworth on Mother's Day.
Mm.
Love you, grandma. What were we talking about? We were talking about mothers.
We were on Adrian Yanez.
And I said mothers.
Oh,
okay. Anyway, Yanez, I know. Do you like this fight? You like watching the fight, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good fight. If it's 135, I'm tuning in.
I know. 135-pound men.
Yeah. Distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not necessarily Jocelyn Edwards fighting at 135.
Oh, please no.
We don't have to talk about her anymore. But we will have to expect this happening. Angela Hill, Luana Pinheiro is almost definitely going to be contested, and like you're saying, split.
Definitely gonna have split rounds here. Yeah.
Do you think it'll be a split decision?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of hope this is unanimous.
Gosh, wouldn't that be a nice parting gift if Angela Hill just beats the crud out of her for three rounds and it's 30-27, yeah. Like all across the board?
It'd be nice.
Yeah, she'll do that for you.
Be even nice if you get a finish.
Yeah, first round finish would be good. I'm sure she's been looking for those a while. It just haven't been happening. When was the last time she got a fit? Was it Hannah Cyphers like 10,000 years ago when this show started?
I feel bad for her.
Hannah Cyphers.
Yeah, they kind of just fed her to the wolves.
Yeah, she never got like a... She had like one or two fights where she actually got to show what she could do, but that's another fighter who just didn't have enough on the ground. She just didn't.
Even Angela Hill mounted her and was pounding her with elbows.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Angela Hill has a bad ground game, but she's not known for that.
She's not known for it.
So.
She's not known. It's true. And that is that's it for our look ahead. Is that the last time we're not gonna look ahead to the last one, right?
I think no.
Because there's no fights the following week.
Yeah, we're off.
This is the last time we're looking ahead.
We're looking ahead. I mean, you can look. I want to say a word, but I'm not sure it would be the right word.
Penultimate.
No. My diatribe? Is that a word?
Diatribe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
My
word.
My farewell
for
speech?
What?
Is that what that means?
A diatribe? Yeah, I mean, Kind of.
I didn't look it up. I just kind of.
I feel like it's not necessarily the way you mean it.
Oh, it's a forceful and bitter attack against someone or something. Yeah, yeah. We're not
going
to do that.
I didn't think that was what you were going for, but I didn't know if that's what you meant.
I was close in along those lines.
I see. Start ranting about all the people you hate. You know what grinds my gears?
I got Peter Griffin.
You Peter Griffin. Yeah,
they might have some in that.
All right. We'll see. Got to tune in.
All right, that does it for the penultimate episode of the Couchside Judges.
Glad I taught you something.
Yes, and I used it properly.
And hopefully you have too, dear listener.
We will be back again for the series finale next week. Monday, maybe Tuesday.
Maybe some characters will be killed off. We'll see.
Whoa, look at that. Thanks for listening.
Take care, everyone. We'll be right back.